Earth Science, 8th grade. Thursday, May 7th. Lesson 4. Volcanic Eruptions. In 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted in one of the most deadly and costly volcanic eruptions in United States history. The eruption was particularly deadly since Mount St. Helens, one of the Cascade Range, is in a populated area between Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington. The eruption killed 57 people, destroyed 250 homes, and swept away 47 bridges. The elevation of the volcano dropped by over 1,300 feet because of the immense explosion created by the eruption. Today, Mount St. Helens is still active. The volcano now has a horseshoe-shaped crater that is nearly 1 mile across. Within the crater, a new lava dome has formed. How did this eruption occur? Why aren't all volcanoes explosive like Mount St. Helens? Why did so many people perish if we knew that it was going to erupt? The study of volcanoes has many questions still unanswered. However, scientists have studied volcanoes for many years and are piecing together evidence that explains these powerful geologic phenomena. All volcanoes share the same basic features. The magma collects in magma chambers that can be 100 miles beneath the surface. As the rock heats, it expands, which creates even more pressure. As a result, the magma seeks a way out, pushing toward the surface, and seeps through cracks in the Earth's crust called vents. Eventually, it reaches the surface. When it comes out, we call it an eruption. An eruption can be an outburst or an explosion, a violent and sudden occurrence like a bomb exploding. But an eruption can also be more like honey spilling out of a tipped-over jar, gradual and relatively calm. These examples are similar to the two primary kinds of eruptions that we see in volcanoes. Types of eruptions. Every geological formation is unique. Their composition and construction depend on so many factors that it would be impossible for two formations to be exactly alike. In the same way, each volcano and its eruptions are unique. However, we tend to see two major kinds of eruptions. We talked about eruption to mean both a violent explosion or a sort of silent spreading. These are the two types of volcanic eruptions that we see, explosive and non-explosive eruptions. When we think of volcanic eruptions, we often think of huge clouds of volcanic ash ejected high into the atmosphere, and then thick rivers of red lava snaking down the mountainside. In reality, these two phenomena rarely occur in the same volcano. Volcanic eruptions tend to be one or the other. Explosive eruptions. Imagine the devastation and force caused by the atom bomb dropped on Nagasaki at the end of World War II, in which over 40,000 people died. Now imagine an explosion 10,000 times as powerful. Explosive volcanic eruptions can be that powerful. As hot magma beneath the surface interacts with water, gases accumulate and the magma pressure builds up. This pressure grows and grows until these dissolved gases cause it to burst in an enormous explosion. This great explosion takes with it the magma and volcanic gases, which can shoot many kilometers into the sky and forms a mushroom cloud, similar to that formed by a nuclear explosion. The debris travels up into the air at very high speeds and cools in the atmosphere to form solid particles called pyroclasts. Some of these particles can stay in the atmosphere for years, which can disrupt weather patterns and affect the temperature of the Earth. The rest of the debris comes falling back to Earth, where it rains down for kilometers and kilometers around. Sometimes secondary explosions occur that are even greater than the first. Additionally, volcanic gases like water vapor, carbon dioxide, sulfur dioxide, hydrogen sulfide, and hydrogen chloride can form poisonous and invisible clouds that roam about the atmosphere. These gases contribute to environmental problems like acid rain and ozone destruction, and can actually cool the Earth's atmosphere. In the Cascade Range, the explosive eruption of Mount St. Helens was preceded by the eruption of Lassen Peak, one of the three Cascade volcanoes in Northern California. On May 22, 1915, an explosive eruption sent a column of ash and gas 30,000 feet into the air and triggered a high-speed pyroclastic flow, which melted snow and created a lahar. Lassen continues to have geothermal activity and could erupt explosively again. Mount Shasta erupts every 600 to 800 years. An eruption would most likely create a large pyroclastic flow and perhaps a lahar. However, the volcano could explode like Mount Massama, which blew itself in an eruption about 42 times more powerful than Mount St. Helens in 1980 to create Crater Lake. Non-explosive eruptions. A second type of volcanic eruption is a non-explosive or effusive eruption. Because the composition of magma is different in different volcanoes, the properties of the lava are different. In effusive eruptions, lava flows are relatively calm and do not explode out of the volcano. As a result, people generally have a great deal of warning before lava reaches them. So non-explosive eruptions are much less deadly. That does not keep them from being destructive, however. Even when we know that a lava flow is approaching, there are a few ways of stopping it, given the large quantity and temperature of lava. Magma. Deep beneath the earth, magma forms as the first stage in creating a volcano. This occurs because rock below the surface is subjected to great amounts of pressure from gravity. The decay of radioactive materials generates additional heat. The substantial heat and pressure melt the rock below the surface to form a taffy-like substance. You may have seen a candle that has been left out in the hot sun too long. It becomes softer and more like a liquid. As the molecules absorb heat, they begin to slide past one another, becoming more fluid. A similar process occurs with magma. However, different substances melt at different temperatures. For that reason, the temperature at which rocks melt depends on the specific types of rocks. The Earth's crust and mantle are made of many substances, so the temperature required to create magma varies. Most magmas are formed between 600 degrees Celsius and 1300 degrees Celsius. Melted rock or magma can be found in magma chambers beneath the Earth. Since the magma chambers are so far beneath the Earth's surface, it is difficult for scientists to study them. Scientists know that magma chambers are created where the heat and pressure are greatest. When tectonic plates collide and rub against each other, magma is formed there. That is how the Pacific Ring of Fire was created. We also know there are volcanoes far away from plate boundaries, so we know there are magma chambers in these areas as well. Magma chambers can be found where there are mantle plumes or hot spots. Just how or why these hot spots are created isn't exactly known. However, because different substances melt at different temperatures, the creation of magma depends on what substances make it up, its composition. Just like the flavor of a cake depends on the ingredients that you put into it, the behavior of magma and lava depends on its composition. Certain melted rocks act in certain ways, so when the magma becomes lava, not all lava acts the same. Lava. Once magma reaches the surface, it becomes lava. Consider different liquids that you might see in your house, honey and a bottle of cola, for example. You might agree that the two liquids are different in many regards. They taste different, have different colors, have different gases in them, and they flow differently. In fact, honey is a liquid that resists flowing, whereas cola flows easily. Honey has a higher viscosity than the cola. It resists flowing. Water has a low viscosity because it flows easily. One of the major differences in different types of lava is their viscosity. A highly viscous lava is one that doesn't tend to flow easily. It tends to stay in place. Lavas with high silica contents tend to be more viscous. Since it is so resistant to moving, it clogs the vents in a volcano. The pressure becomes greater and greater until the volcano finally explodes. This type of lava is found in explosive eruptions. It also tends to trap a lot of gas. When the gas is released, it makes the eruption more explosive. Most of this lava is shot up into the air where it hardens and becomes solid rock. This molten rock that solidifies in the air is known as pyroclastic material. In an igneous rock like pumice, small holes in the solid rock show where gas bubbles were when the rock was still liquid lava. Low viscosity lava slides or flows down mountainsides. There is more than one type of low viscosity lava. The differences between them come from the lava's different composition and different spots where they come to the surface. The types of igneous formations form depends on which type of lava it is. The three major categories are Aa, Pajo, and Pillow lava. Aa lava. Aa lava is the most viscous of the non-explosive lavas. This lava forms a thick and brittle crust, which is torn into rough and jagged pieces. The solidified surface is jagged and sharp. It can spread over large areas as the lava continues to flow underneath. Pajo lava. Pajo lava is less viscous than Aa lava and flows more readily. Its surface looks more wrinkly and smooth than the jagged Aa lava. Pajo lava flows in a series of lobes or rounded areas that form strange twisted shapes and natural rock sculptures. Pajo lava can also form lava tubes beneath the ground. Pillow lava. Pillow lava is lava that comes out from volcanic vents underwater. When it comes out underwater, it cools down very quickly and forms roughly spherical rocks that resemble pillows, from which more lava leaks and creates more pillows. Pillow lava is particularly common along underwater spreading centers. Review questions. Number 1. What is pyroclastic material? Number 2. What are the two basic types of volcanic eruptions, and what distinguishes them from each other? This concludes the material for Thursday, May 7th.